Wakefield Real Estate, Kate Wakefield speaking. Oh, no, we're not open tomorrow. Our bicentennial starts. Well, we're closed for the weekend. But if you want to make an appointment, who's calling to... Bye. Somebody's secretary, I guess.
Time to go home, Pat. Be sure to turn out the lights when you leave, will you?
Closing up, Kate?
Say, Bixler.
Long time no see.
You're looking marvelous.
Busy, busy. David keeps me on the run.
He says you've become the best reporter in the county.
Oh, we're limited to the county. Are you on your way home, Kate?
Yes.
I'd like to join you.
Oh, all right.
As a matter of fact, I've already been to your house, but your Aunt Isabel didn't care to let me in.
I don't understand.
I wanted an interview with Mr. Wakefield. It was a no-no.
Oh, well, he was probably resting.
He was at his desk in his study. I could see him from the porch.
What was the interview to be about?
As if you didn't know, Kate. The speech he's going to make tomorrow, giving that land in memory of his notorious son, your late husband.
He may not make that speech.
Go over and look in the park. They've built a special ramp today to get his wheelchair up to the platform. Well, will I get an interview?
I'm sorry, I don't know, Faye, but I've got to get home.
Blind and wondrous. All these are faces of love. In a moment, young Kate Wakefield, venturing into today's world of confusing freedoms, brought to you by Daytrill, the new non-aspirin pain reliever from Bristol-Myers.
There's a ramp, Isabel. Faye was right. Dad must have ordered it himself.
I thought last night we talked Arthur out of making that speech.
Well, he didn't. I suppose he has a right if he wants to.
It isn't a question of right. It's a question of common sense, ordinary decency.
What can we do?
We can go home and tell him the truth. That Tom, forgive me, my dear, never set an example for anybody in this town. He doesn't deserve a memorial.
No, Isabel, we're not going to do that.
Why not? Listen, Kate, you've always faced the truth.
But Dad Wakefield can't. And tonight it's too late to try. The strain is already too much for him.
And what about you, when all the talk starts again?
I don't know. Look, let's drive around for a little while and get some fresh air.
Okay.
I love this hour of the day.
The
light's coming on.
You know, in Paris, the air is really blue. Kind of a magic. You'd love it.
All Tom wanted was the sea. So we sailed. The islands, Jamaica, up and down the coastline.
Were you happy?
Oh, it was glorious at first. Look, there's a house where I grew up. Oh, why, it looks small.
Well, the past always does when you get too close.
There's a yard in back where Dad taught me to turn cartwheels. And pitch a baseball.
I remember him. Irish, wasn't he?
Higgins. And didn't he love to sing? There's that big lawn. I remember one morning he got me to go and dance barefoot in the morning dew. I arrived late at school with a splinter in my foot.
Oh, dear.
That was Joy's room, front left.
Your sister?
10 years older. When she dressed for a date, I'd imitate her. Oh, I must have been a terrible pest.
Where is she now?
Oh, she and Jim live right here in Belhaven. They have 3 children. It's wonderful for me at Christmas time.
You're totally wrapped up in Belhaven, aren't you, Kate?
Well, where else would I want to live?
Wakefield, for seeing me. I'll let myself out. Thanks for everything. It'll be a good story, I promise. Bye now.
Say, what on earth?
Hello, Kate, Mrs. Duval.
What are you doing here?
I've just interviewed Mr. Wakefield.
I told you.
He was very glad to see me.
Isabel, let me talk to Faye, will you?
I hope you do. This is not my idea of manners.
No, Mrs. Duval, but the press must carry on.
Faye, what did you talk to Dad about?
Honestly, Kate, I just don't dig you. Mr. Wakefield's making a big speech tomorrow dedicating 600 acres to the memory of his beloved son.
What did he say to you?
I want to know why you tried to block me from seeing him.
What did he say?
Kate, get with it. You and I have known each other too long to play games about this. He said what he wanted to.
After you walked in on him?
Oh, no. After you left, I went back to the office and called him. He said he'd be delighted to see me. He wants the publicity.
Dad never wanted publicity in his life.
Not for himself, for his son. His late son, Tom. And boy, am I going to see that he gets it. Mr. Wakefield not only gave me an interview, he gave me a complete copy of his speech in this picture. Recognize it?
Of course I recognize it.
That's the way Tom looked when you married him, isn't it? And what a dancer. I told Mr. Wakefield that. I also told him I thought the memorial was a terrific idea.
Say, you're doing something very cool.
Cool? It's news.
If I asked you not to print that speech in that picture.
Are you kidding?
If you knew it would hurt a lot of people.
That's not my problem.
Don't you care about anything but the news?
I'm doing all right, Kate. And that's what pays my bills. See you.
Compliments to the bartender, Hugh. This is what I call a sand dry Shirley Temple.
Since when don't you take a drink, Tony?
Never on business. I'd rather let the rest of the boys talk loose. Present company accepted, of course.
Probably a good idea. We like to think we have the best bartender in town at this club.
Only the best, right?
What else are we in business for?
Right.
Well, what about your Paris trip?
The full report's been on your desk since this morning.
Never mind the full report. Do we get the business?
Of course we do.
Good.
I will have to go back in a couple of weeks.
That's no hardship for you.
Oh, if you mean my little black book, Lizette is out of town. Lily has found a rich Arab. But I did meet a charming aunt on the plane coming home.
A charming what?
Aunt. A-U-N-T, aunt.
I thought you liked your women young.
Well, the niece waiting at the airport was young.
Oh.
And lovely. Mm. Ever hear of Belhaven?
Probably one in every state of the Union.
This one has old trees, old churches, and nice girls.
I don't see you in that setting, Tony.
And it was once the heart of the horse collar industry. Am I boring you?
Yes.
Well, so much for sentiment.
I'm trying to get away for the weekend. I'll take your Paris report with me.
Fine, fine.
What are you going to do for the weekend?
I know you only ask out of consideration for my well-being.
Damn your well-being. I want to know where I can reach you.
Well, I'll tell you something. I'm sick of weekends. They can get to be a pain to a man in my situation. I mean, I can go out on the boat with Claire's crowd and drink too much. Or I can go up to Ned and Elsie's and play some tennis.
Tony, I want to know where to reach.
Try Route 65 heading north.
What's on Route 65?
Belhaven?
Let's just say I want to be alone. You can probably reach me by looking up that charming aunt and her even more charming niece, Kate Wakefield.
Every woman woman likes to know she's the best she can be. So take a little time out for yourself, your looks, and especially for great-looking hair. Great-looking hair comes easily with Natural Wear Miss Clairol Hair Color. Choose from two personal formulas. Shampoo formula or conditioning formula is the easy way to get fresh, young color. Extra rich cream formula is the one hairdressers use because no laboratory today has found a better way to cover gray. Shampoo formula or cream formula, try Natural Wear Miss Clairol to know you're the best you can be.
Faces of Love features Joan Loring as Kate Wakefield, Mason Adams as David Sloan, and Nat Polan as Anthony Cushing. Also appearing were Joan Copeland, Lon Clark, and Mindy Seeger. Produced and directed by Ernie Ricca. Written by Margaret LaWorth and brought to you by Natural Wear Miss Clairol. To know you're the best you can be. This is Mel Brandt. Presents the radio dramatization of William Makepeace Thackeray's classic novel, Vanity Fair, the story of the clever and charming adventuress, Becky Sharp. In a moment, our author, Mr. Thackeray. The Author Studio is brought to you by Mr. Muscle, the oven cleaner that works the easy overnight way. Presents the radio dramatization of William Makepeace Thackeray's classic novel, Vanity Fair, the story of the clever and charming adventuress, Becky Sharp. In a moment, our author, Mr. Thackeray. The Author Studio is brought to you by Mr. Muscle, the oven cleaner that works the easy overnight way.
Once again, your most obedient servant, William Makepeace Thackeray, author of this chronicle, Vanity Fair, and eager to get on with it. At the gates of Miss Pinkerton's Academy for Young Ladies, there waits a coach and pair, its dappled horses in blazing harness, impatient to be away. Our two young ladies, Miss Rebecca Sharp and Miss Amelia Sedley, about to depart this school forever, are likewise eager to be off. Amelia is, or was, Miss Pinkerton's favorite pupil. Rebecca, teacher and pupil, Miss P's most unfavorite. It was Becky herself who flung this accusation at the schoolmistress.
You treated me worse than any servant in the kitchen.
Becky, we admit, is inclined to exaggeration, but did not then exaggerate. Indeed, Miss Pinkerton delivered her final insult not 5 minutes past, when she neglected to confer on Becky the honorary gift of Dr. Johnson's dictionary. But wait. Miss Minerva Pinkerton, that awesome woman, has a timorous sister, Jemima. The young ladies have just stepped into the yellow carriage when Miss Jemmy comes scurrying through the gate.
Becky. Becky Sharp. Here's a book for you that my sister was reading. It's Mr. Johnson's dictionary. Well, you mustn't leave without that.
Becky, I'll come to you so sorry. I will not come. I want to. But I will not. Becky, how could you throw Mr. Johnson's dictionary out the window?
Miss Pinkerton's dictionary. I'll not take away with me one thing that her hand has...
But you...
What, are you afraid the coachman will carry tales? Turn back and tell her I hate her with all my soul?
I told her myself.
To her face?
And I said I knew she didn't understand French and had pretended all these years.
Oh, what fun I've had lording it over her with that blessed language. Vive la France! Vive l'Empereur! Vive Napoleon Bonaparte!
Oh, Rebecca! How can you say such terrible things?
You think in England to say long live Bonaparte is to say long live Lucifer?
Indeed. Oh, you please won't say such things when you visit in my house. Papa would be... Oh, Becky, don't.
Oh, no. I cannot say them. You have my promise. Oh,
I never know what you may say.
I never know myself. But I'll vow I'll be a lady the whole fortnight I visit you. You are a dear to invite me. And I'll not make you stop.
You're a dear to come.
Oh, no, I'm not dear to come. I want so to live for a while the way you live before I go away to be a governess. Oh, dear, why must I be one? Why does the world treat me so ill? It always has.
I know, dear Becky, but it will treat you better now. I'm certain it will.
I shall make it treat me better. The world is beginning for us both, a new shining one for you, but for Rebecca. Will the dark secrets from my early tainted days always spoil the world for me, dark?
Tainted? What frightening things you say.
What frightening things I remember. Only they didn't frighten me when I lived them. I knew no other.
What things? Tell me.
Oh, you mightn't love me if I tell.
I'll always love you and always envy you.
Envy me?
I don't know the world like you do and never shall. Tell me about the world.
Well, I shall test if you love me. My mother was a dancing girl.
Tell me. Her world. Tell about that.
Well, I didn't know Mama's world. She died when I was so little. Oh. But Papa said she took me on the stage sometimes. A baby. Danced with me in her arms.
Your Papa's world, then. I know he was an artist.
A world of debt and drink and artist studios and taverns. Oh, I love the taverns.
He took you to taverns? You never said it before.
Oh, well, I don't know why I say it now. Oh, how proud he was of the way I talked so easy with the men whilst they sang and drank their gin and pinched my teeth. As for me, their conversation was 1,000 times more agreeable than the talk of silly little girls. You're my very first friend, Emmy.
Oh, I'm so glad to be your friend. Never have I had such a friend as you.
No, I dare say not. Oh, now that's enough, but too much. No more of Becky Sharp.
If I had a nickel for every minute I've spent in a dirty oven, scraping and scrubbing, I'd be living in Fort Knox.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Oh, come on.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, and while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
Really?
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
Well, Mr. Muscle really sounds like a good man to wake up to.
The carriage just now has reached London. The horse's hooves striking sparks on the cobblestones. Becky, too, soon will strike sparks.
Becky, please tell me more about the gentleman in the tavern.
The gentleman? No. Not one word more. It's all behind. It's all yesterday. Oh, look. London town. Oh, we'll talk about here and about tomorrow.
Wait.
First, give me your solemnest promise you never, never, never tell anyone, not anyone, the secrets I share.
I promise. I do.
I'm not ashamed. I'm not. My papa was a genius. Mama danced like an angel. But who save you would understand the rest? Promise again. Bow it under heaven.
I bow under heaven.
Oh, Emmy, dear Emmy. Because of you, I no longer feel alone in the world, an orphan without friends or kindred.
I shall always be your friend and love you like a sister. Indeed, I shall.
But to have parents as you have, and to have a brother. Oh,
how you must love Joseph.
Oh, yes, but... Oh, Joseph's been away 10 years to India. I was but 9 when he left us. Now I hardly know him.
Is he very rich? Well, someone told me Indian neighbor very enormously rich, always.
When I was home last month, he boasted he had a very large income. I didn't think it very becoming to boast in such a way.
And is your sister-in-law a nice, pretty woman?
Becky, dear, I've told you twice, Joe's isn't married.
Oh, well, it was of no importance, so I forgot. But now that I think on it, I'm very sorry Mr. Sedley is unmarried. I should have loved seeing your nieces and nephews. I do dote on little children. How old is Mr. Jones?
32.
Is he very handsome? I mean, like his sister?
Oh, well, I don't wish to speak ill of my dear and only brother, but... Well, I think Joe's ate too much rice in India. He keeps talking of rice and curry, so I think that's what it is.
What is?
Well, Joe's is... He's a little... plump.
Love. You're being modest for him. Emmy, how long now to Russell Square?
Oh, 10 minutes, mayhap, and half round the square we're home.
Oh, I can't wait. Call to the coachman to drive faster. I cannot wait.
In very truth, Becky can't wait. For dear ladies, the meaning of her seemingly idle queries just now, as translated in the heart of that ingenious young creature, is as follows.
Mr. Joseph Sedley is rich and unmarried. Why should I not marry him? Well, there's no harm in trying, is there? Plum, fat, thin, what do I care? Old, young, middling, what difference to me? Oh, I have only a fortnight to be sure. But how I shall try.
It was the poet John Dryden who said, when fortune favors, none but fools will dally. Becky is no fool, and Becky never dallies. On the morrow, Mr. Joseph Sedley meets a minx, the like of which he has never met with before. Ladies, shall you and I meet? I devoutly hope. Your obedient servant, William Makepeace Thackeray.
The following is a paid dramatization.
Hi, I'm your teacher, and that's Roland Gibbs on drums. He drew my picture last week with gray hair. Me, with 11 grays. I gave hair coloring a second thought. I found out about Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It has no peroxide, doesn't change my natural color, and it's good for my hair. Loving Care covered my grays and made my hair softer and shinier. Gotta give the kid credit.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
Say, did you know that a 1.5-ounce bottle of Ban Roll-On antiperspirant costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6-ounce sprays? Listen to this. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application each side each day, the longest-lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays will give you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. And tests have shown that Ban Roll-On will help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Ban Roll-On. So economical, yet so effective.
The Author Studio has been brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant. This is the Serial Network.
Not nice to eavesdrop, but it's fun. So let's check in on the comedy of errors at the Baxters. On the little things in life. Brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant.
glad you're home early. I was afraid you were going to be late tonight. We are invited out.
Oh, where?
Oh, you'll never guess. To the Langleys.
Well, who are they?
The Langleys?
Oh, yeah, no kidding. You mean the...
Yes, that handsome gray-haired man we met at the Croziers.
All right. He wasn't that handsome.
You're jealous.
Yes, I am. Nevertheless, he wasn't that handsome.
Well, I thought so, and you certainly thought his wife was gorgeous.
Oh, gorgeous.
Oh,
I don't like
did.
That word anyway. She was attractive. That's all I said. She was attractive.
Well, that handsome man you don't think is so handsome ran out of gas in front of our house today, and fortunately we had some gas to give him. So he was so grateful, he said to me, "Why don't you and your husband come over to our place for a swim about 6 o'clock?
Yeah.
And then Mrs. Langley called about an hour later, and she said, "Oh, do come for a dip and perhaps a bit of a cookout." I think she's English.
If she has an accent like that, she is certainly not American or anything else. You're not good at accents, honey.
Well, Mr. Langley didn't seem to mind my American accent, dear. Anyhow, what do you think? I said I'd ask you as soon as you came home.
Well, the truth of the matter is, I've been wanting to meet that guy ever since they moved up here. He's head of the Kodiak Pulp and Paper Mills in Alaska, and other things.
I know. We've always kept saying you wanted to meet him, so here's your chance.
Yeah.
Oh,
my boss will be pretty pleased I've established contact with this guy. Nobody, and I mean nobody, has been able to meet him here.
Well, here's your shining hour. Now, I wonder, do you think we should get into our suits here and then just put on our beach robes?
No. They've got an enormous pool house. We can change when we get there.
You think I should wear slacks or shorts over there? Now, maybe I'll wear my new lime green linen dress.
Well, if they're sitting around the pool, they'll be more casual than that. No, I wouldn't wear a dress. I think that new outfit you got, the yellow shorts and blouse, you
know. Maybe. Oh, dear, I don't know. I want to wear the right thing.
Calm down.
Well, I just got so excited. I always wanted to see that big house anyhow. You can't see a thing from the road. Elaine says it's just like a French chateau.
Well, how did he happen to ask us? Just out of the blue like that?
Well, I just told you, ran out of gas. He's got one of those foreign cars, Italian, I think, about a mile long and hugs the ground.
Uh-huh.
You know? Well, he just knocked at the door. He apologized for bothering me and said he ran out of gas and did we have any? And I said I was sure we did, and I showed him where the extra gas can was. You know? And then when he brought it back, he looked so worn out and it was so hot, and I just, you know, offered him some lemonade.
Uh-huh.
All my friends are going to be so jealous to think we got invited. Oh, dear. You really think my yellow shorts are best?
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, I wish you'd calm down.
Yeah.
Now, when we get over there, for Pete's sake, act natural.
What does that mean?
You know perfectly well what I mean.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do. Now, don't get mad, dear, but it's true. Every time you meet somebody you're terribly impressed with, you put on this little phony accent.
I am not terribly impressed with them, as you put it. I will certainly act natural. I don't know what you mean.
All right, forget it. Let's get upstairs.
Well,
and
I really
change.
Don't know what you... Debbie! Do you have to slam the door every time you come in?
Sorry.
And don't say sorry like that. You don't sound sorry at all when you say that.
What do you want me to say?
Well, don't talk to your mother like that. And don't you say hello to anyone anymore?
No. Oh, hello, Mother. Hello, Father.
Now, just a minute, young lady.
Let it go. We are in a hurry. Debbie, we won't be home for dinner. I got a hamburger out for you, or there's some chicken salad, whichever you want. Guess where we are going.
Where?
To the Langleys. The people who are renting that big house over
on... I know who they are. I know Bill Langley. He's a weirdo.
Well, who's that? Their son?
Uh-huh. Nobody can stand him. He's this big show-off, you know?
Well, anyhow, his father is very nice. He ran out of gas in front of here today.
Okay. Look, don't go into a long explanation. We're going to be late.
They've invited us for a swim in the pool and a bite to eat afterwards.
Come on. Let's get upstairs.
Yeah, all right. I'm coming. Debbie, now there's lemonade in the pitcher,
Wait
too,
a
in the
minute.
Refrigerator. What?
They invited you for a swim in the pool?
Uh-huh.
They invited you?
Yes. Don't you think your parents are good enough to be invited to the Langleys?
Oh, Mom, yeah, it isn't that. But they skinny dip.
What?
No clothes on. In the nude. They don't wear suits.
I heard you. I know what skinny dip is. They must wear bathing suits when they have guests.
No, they don't. I know people who've been there.
Will you please get up here for once? Let's not be late.
You come down here. Debbie has something to tell you.
do you mean, what are we going to do? We're invited to the Langleys, and if you don't get upstairs and get dressed, we're going to be late. I told you how important it is to me to meet this
fella. Please, will you please keep quiet a minute? Debbie just told me something. Tell him, Debbie.
The Langley skinny dip, Daddy.
What?
No clothes on. They don't wear bathing suits.
Yeah, all right, all right. I know what skinny dip is.
That's just what I said.
They certainly wear bathing suits when they have guests.
That's what I said.
No, they do not.
She knows people who have been there.
Well, they certainly don't invite total strangers to come swimming and then sit around with no clothes on.
No, they wouldn't do that. I don't believe it.
Well, I can't help if you believe it or not, but I thought I'd better tell you.
Oh, yes, and do they expect their guests to, you know, not wear anything either?
I don't know. I guess if they want to.
Well, your mother is not going over there and sit around with no clothes on, I'll tell you that.
Well, you don't need to tell me that. I know perfectly well I'm not going somewhere and sit around naked. Honestly, dear.
Mother, there's nothing wrong with being nude. The human body is a very beautiful thing.
Go eat your dinner. I'll discuss this with your father.
Well, maybe I shouldn't have told you, but I had this vision of the looks on your faces when you walked through their gate to the pool and Mr. and Mrs. Langley coming towards you without a stitch on. Wow! Knowing you two...
Go eat your dinner. I'll discuss this with your mother.
Well, what do we do?
What did Debbie mean when she said, knowing you two?
I know what she meant. We're old-fashioned, I guess.
Well, I think there's a great difference between being old-fashioned and having some sense of modesty, dignity, and decent behavior. There's no law that says we can't wear bathing suits.
No, but we'd feel pretty silly if they have no clothes on at all. I should think it'd be very, well, awkward, to say the least.
Mm.
I have a feeling I'd keep looking up at the sky all the time. Well, you know what I mean.
What do we do?
I just asked you that.
Now, one time I get an opportunity to meet this guy...
Well, you wouldn't make very much of an impression if you were embarrassed to pieces all the time, anyhow.
The one time I get an opportunity...
Well, you said that, dear.
Guy.
There's no sense in going on about it. Now, if we're not going, we've got to call and make some excuse.
What excuse could we get?
Well, there's plenty to choose from. Unexpected company, you're coming down with a cold. I can think of excuses. Unless you want to go alone. Now, you could just say Debbie's sick and I had to stay home. I mean, that way you could meet him and you wouldn't be as embarrassed as I would be anyhow.
Well,
you
what
know
do you mean I'm... I wouldn't be as embarrassed? Well, with Mrs. Langley prancing around in the buff? Or...
Oh. Well, yes, I guess so. Well, if we refuse, do you think they'll guess why?
Yeah? I suppose. They'll think we've heard about them, probably think we're a couple of fuddy-duddies and be very amused.
Well, I'd rather be a fuddy-duddy than go around naked as a jaybird in front of people I don't even know.
Well, I don't want to be naked as a jaybird in front of people I do know.
No. Oh, listen. Debbie! Debbie! I'll have her call.
I know you're not going.
That's right, but I want you to phone. You say Daddy and I had to leave unexpectedly and had to drive to see Aunt Edith, who's very ill.
Okay.
No. I don't like excuses like that. Tempting fate, Aunt Edith might get ill.
We don't have an Aunt Edith. I just made up a name.
What? Oh, yes.
What's the matter with you?
Boy, am I rattled.
Don't say.
This thing has really thrown me. Here's this man I've wanted to meet for ages. Runs out of gas right in front of my house.
I know. Well, I better go out and get us some dinner for
tonight. Wait a minute.
What?
What gas did you give him?
A little round red gas can. There was gas in it. It was almost full.
Almost full of water?
Huh?
The kid that mows the lawn left the cap off. We had that downpour all day and all night, and I noticed it this morning.
But, Mom, Mrs. Langley said it was just as well you aren't coming because Mr. Langley is having some trouble with his new car and is in a perfectly foul humor.
Yes, dear, we know.
Oh, brother.
Do you think all antiperspirants are basically the same? Well, Ban Roll-On antiperspirant may just change your mind. Take effectiveness, for instance. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On antiperspirant will actually help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Make your own test soon. Pick up a bottle of Ban Roll-On, and you may discover what we've shown in tests. Ban Roll-On antiperspirant, proof that not all antiperspirants are created equal.
Every woman likes to know she's the best she can be, so take a little time out for yourself, your looks, and especially for great-looking hair. Great-looking hair comes easily with Natural Wear Miss Clairol Hair Color. Choose from two personal formulas. Shampoo formula or conditioning formula is the easy way to get fresh, young color. Extra Rich Cream Formula is the one hairdressers use because no laboratory today has found a better way to cover gray. Shampoo formula or cream formula, try Natural Wear Miss Clairol to know you're the best you can be.
The Little Things in Life has been brought to you by Natural Wear Miss Clairol. To know you're the best you can be. This is the Serial Network. To have and to hold. To have and to hold. The story of the traditional vows, the new morality, and the people caught in the conflict between them. Brought to you by Mr. Muscle, the oven cleaner that works the easy overnight way.
You got here ahead of me. How's it going?
Oh, about as well as can be expected, Jason, considering that my wife and daughter seem to be making a tour of all the playgrounds of Europe.
I don't know why I keep promising myself I'll read these medical journals. With all this commotion about malpractice insurance, I have no time for anything else. The lady's still in St. Moritz?
Yep, last I heard. Of course, Lynn's postcard was mailed over a week ago.
Well, they're probably having such a good time, they're too busy to write. That was the whole idea, wasn't it? To take Lynn's mind off the annulment?
Well, allow me my self-pity, son. I am footing the bill, you know.
Say, that iced tea looks awfully good to me. You know, when I stepped out of the hospital, I felt as if I'd walked into a blast furnace.
Oh, Emily took pity on me and gave me a glass almost the moment I came in the door.
Mm-hmm. She in the kitchen?
No, she's, resting upstairs.
Oh, well, I'm not surprised. The heat's enough to do anyone in, even them. Well, I guess that means dinner will be a little late.
If there's any dinner at all.
Em's not ill, is she?
No, not in the sense you mean, Jason. But emotionally, I'm afraid she's pretty well spent. I don't remember seeing her this upset since that time Bobby ran in front of the car.
Well, what happened?
Apparently, she had a run-in with Susie.
Oh, well, that's par for the course. Susie flies off the handle at least twice a day.
It wasn't Susie who lost her temper. It was Emily.
Well, really, what'd she do?
She slapped her.
Well, I have to admit I've been tempted to a few times.
In public, in front of her friends?
Oh, well, that doesn't sound like Em. She wouldn't hurt Susie intentionally. She'd certainly never humiliate her in public.
Well, the Emily you and I are used to, you mean?
Well, I haven't noticed any drastic changes.
You see her every day. I don't. I think she's drawn pretty fine, Jason.
Well, I'm not surprised with the workload she's been carrying.
Why don't you go see how she's feeling, and I'll go out and talk to my granddaughter. Maybe I can salve her feelings to the point where dinner won't be a total disaster. I brought you some iced tea, Duchess.
Thanks, Grandfather.
How are things going?
Do you have to ask?
See, if you can use an extra hand, I'd be glad to help. I was a pretty good corn shucker in my day.
It shows in your jokes.
Oh. You, feel like talking?
Oh, not very much.
Susie, your mother did a foolish thing today. You know she wasn't herself. She's been upset lately, and she's very unhappy about what happened this afternoon.
She'll get over it.
I hope we all will.
I don't think I like my mother anymore.
Well, but Because of what happened today?
Because of a lot of things. All of a sudden, she's nagging all the time. Bobby and I can argue back once in a while, but Jennifer's too little to put up a fight.
So you think she nags you?
Well, it isn't just us. Yesterday, she lost her temper at the dry cleaning man. And she was so mad when she hung up the phone, she threw a glass ashtray at the fireplace. She said she just dropped it. But I know she threw it. How can anybody get that mad at a dry cleaner?
I don't know, Susie.
I don't either. If I didn't know any better, I'd say Mom's fallen out of her tree. I do know one thing. I'm going to love my children. And nothing they can ever do or say is going to make me hit them. I'm going to love them too much.
In my house, we've got a fully automatic kitchen. Me. And the worst job I've got to do is scrape and scrub that dirty oven.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Promises, promises.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, and while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
That's a good idea.
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
You know, I've got a feeling that Mr. Muscle's going to be a good man to wake up to.
I sweep my floor, and I still hear sugar underfoot. I hate that straw broom.
That's the kind of dirt straw brooms miss. But an Oceder angler broom would get it. Angler bristles are cut on an angle to keep more tips on the floor, and the tips are closer together. Oceder angler gets the dirt other brooms miss.
Oceder makes your life easier.
What do you hear from your floor?
Not a sound.
Oceder makes your life easier.
Is it?
Is the kitchen clock right?
I have no idea. I haven't looked at it lately.
Marshall, please don't try to be exasperating. It's been a long day.
And I'll bet I haven't looked at the kitchen clock once.
It says almost midnight. Can that be right?
Well, let's say it agrees with my wristwatch.
One of these days, Dr. Foster, you're going to give me a straight answer to a simple question and I'll drop dead.
Did you, say something, dear?
Just humming to myself over the sexton's dishes.
I can hardly tell theirs from ours. Here you go. The dining room table is now clear.
Oh, good. I'll better check the living room for ashtrays.
Oh, please. Can't the ashtrays wait until morning?
Oh, certainly. They can wait until the 1st of September if you want. You'll be able to get your full quota of nicotine for the day just by coming downstairs in the morning and inhaling through the drain.
All right, all right. No need to make a federal case out of it.
6:30 to 12:30 is 6, and 12:30 to 12:30 is 12. That's 18.
All right, here's the lot. 6 of them. Unless I missed one somewhere.
No, that's all I put out.
Good.
Marshall, I've been thinking. Do you know what time I got up this morning?
No.
6:30.
Admirable.
I wasn't looking for cheap sarcasm, just a little understanding.
I understand. You got up at 6:30 this morning.
Which means that by the time I get to bed tonight, I will have put in a day of exactly 18 hours. And it was a fairly typical day. Nothing very special about it.
Except for an evening of idiot bridge, which you arranged.
For your benefit.
Oh, thanks a heap. If Victor is as much help to me on the hospital board as he was when he was my partner, my career is over.
I know I'm not the only wife who puts in an 18-hour day, as a matter of course. But most other wives aren't married to doctors. When Saturday and Sunday comes around, why, they can enjoy a little rest. But for a doctor's wife, there isn't such a thing as a weekend. For a doctor's wife, every week is 7 Wednesdays in a row.
Ginger, do we have to go over this again? I've explained why it's absolutely impossible for me to get away
from... No, we don't have to go over it again. I've got your story about your precious paperwork committed to memory. But there's one thing you haven't explained. If it's only paperwork, why can't it wait?
Some of it has waited quite a while.
Then it could have waited a little longer. Nobody's life depends on whether the great diagnostician is in the hospital or not.
I told you I asked for the weekend off, but somebody has to be in the hospital.
And I don't believe you.
Well, that would seem to end the conversation then.
Not by a long shot.
Could we continue it in the living room?
I haven't loaded the dishwasher yet. And I wouldn't want you to wake up and have to face a sink full of dirty dishes alone.
Alone?
Betsy and I won't be here.
Oh. May I ask where you will be?
I don't know. Maybe I'm playing into your hands, Marshall. Maybe you'd love to get rid of us for a few days, but I'm sick and tired of letting what you claim are the demands of your job ruin my life.
You know, if I'd offered to send you and Betsy away for the weekend, you'd have decided it was some kind of a plot.
It probably would have been.
Where are you going? Home to Mother? I understand West Virginia's beautiful this time of year. The strip mines are in bloom.
We're going to the first decent resort that has room for us.
At midnight on a Friday, you won't find one.
I'll find one if I have to stay on that phone until dawn.
Ginger, I hope you and Betsy have a very nice weekend.
Marshall, if I thought you sincerely meant that, I wouldn't be leaving. But you have such a great talent for deceit, I have to assume that anything you say is a lie.
Just how have I deceived you?
Do you think I'm going to discuss Angela Fairchild within earshot of our child?
Oh, for God's sake.
I know what's going on, and it's going to stop, I promise you. Or this weekend is going to turn out to be a trial separation.
Well, since there doesn't seem to be anything more to say, shall we load up the dishwasher and call it a night?
You might as well learn how to load it yourself. You're likely to be spending a lot of time alone. Why don't you ask Angela to come over and help you clean up? Nurses are so neat.
It's been years.
Mom, you're doing fine.
Shut up, old kid.
5 minutes, Claude.
Let's sit down. We're meeting your father for dinner. How do I look?
You always look pretty.
Thanks, sweetheart.
Especially your hair. Mom, the class is starting.
Oh. Even when you can't hold up any longer, your hair can with Final Net. Final Net is not an aerosol. There's no wasteful propellant. It's concentrated to hold your hair all day. Final Net holds up longer than you do.
Every woman likes to know she's the best she can be, so take a little time out for yourself, your looks, and especially for great-looking hair. Great-looking hair comes easily with Natural Wear Miss Clairol Hair Color. Choose from two personal formulas. Shampoo formula or conditioning formula is the easy way to get fresh, young color. Extra-rich cream formula is the one hairdressers use, because no laboratory today has found a better way to cover gray. Shampoo formula or cream formula, try Natural Wear Miss Clairol to know you're the best you can be.
To Have and to Hold has been brought to you by Natural Wear Miss Clairol. To know you're the best you can be. This is the Serial Network, a division of DCA Productions.